Today's program has been brought to you by Roberta's Pizza, robertaspizza.com.
Hi, this is Celia Kutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Autumn in New York.
It's a beautiful time of year, Mike. That's my sexy voice, by the way.
You sound like Kathleen Turner.
I actually just had a little phlegm, sorry.
I love autumn in New York. I love Halloween.
I know, well...
I love, especially autumn in Brooklyn, where I just moved, as you know.
Well, anyway, we're not talking about Brooklyn the rest of the show, because I just moved to Queens, and we're having a big Halloween parade in Jackson Heights
Brooklyn.
On Wednesday.
I love everything about Brooklyn.
5 years ago, Mike.
Not even,
you should
hardly.
Get a Brooklyn tattoo, a Brooklyn Bridge tattoo. A lot of people have gotten those. I just moved from Brooklyn after 20 years. Fuck Brooklyn. It's all about Queens now.
Oh, man.
So we're having a Queens show to celebrate my move, instead of a...
Oy vey. That's what we say in Brooklyn.
I don't have the Hasids anymore.
I'm not even going to weigh in on that.
We have every other ethnicity, cultural group.
What about like regular Jews?
I'm sure we have regular Jews, but you can't.
You
people blend.
Forest Hills.
You mix.
We assimilate.
Okay. Right. But right now, today we have Emily Nanko from Queens Brownstoner. Welcome.
Hello.
Who shamefully does not live in Queens.
I know, I've been outed. I write about it. I don't live there.
You are excused. I just moved there, so it's fine. Andrea Lynn, who just wrote a book, Queens, A Culinary Passport. Welcome, Andrea.
Hello.
And Jeff Orlick, who has quite the resume, I have it right here, who runs tasting, like, food tours of Brooklyn, which I'm going to go on soon.
No. Queens.
Sorry. It's only been a couple months.
You can eat in Queens. This I am quite sure of.
We could go to Brooklyn.
No.
I don't know where to go. But
in Brooklyn? Oh, Brooklyn.
Oh, you can get artisanal mayonnaise in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is so wonderful. I'll tell you what you can get. You can get a steak in Brooklyn.
You can get a steak in Queens, just not in my neighborhood. Anyway, Jeff Orlick, a.k.a. Jeffrey Taste, a.k.a. the Queens Custodian. You create authentic experiences through food. Leading people around, showing them what to eat, which I appreciate because there's so much.
Yeah, it's intimidating, definitely.
Yeah. So what's the best Indian in Jackson Heights? I was told to ask you that.
I have no clue. Oh. There's no more Indian. They all moved out.
Oh, no.
They're Americans now. They're in the suburbs. They're in Hicksville, Jericho.
Did you hear
Jersey.
That, Rose?
Sorry, Rose.
Sorry, Rose.
But Bangladeshi, Pakistani, Nepalese, we got that. We're good.
Okay, so the one thing I had to ask about, you're leading a Momo tour. I ordered Momos, and I've never eaten them before, and I think I fucked it up.
How? Did you get mayo on it?
No mayo, okay. No mayonnaise-based sides. I got the Momos, and then there were little stew bits around it. What do I do with
Momo? Explain a Momo.
Yes.
Momo, okay, it's a Momo is just a dumpling. It's just a dumpling. Very simple.
With nothing inside, though, right?
There should be something inside.
Oh.
What happened?
I got... So it wasn't me.
The great Momo swindle.
I bet you got takeout.
No.
Wait. All right. I don't know what...
How does this happen, Judy?
What happened?
We went to a Nepalese restaurant. I was like, oh, I don't know what a Momo is. I'll order that.
Sure. So it sounds like, cute, right?
I like the name,
yeah,
Momo.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So it was like two dough balls that were sort of slicedy. They seemed sort of half-cooked. And they were, you could pull off a piece and then dip it in like stew.
This is tingmo. Tingmo, not momo.
Well, there's your mistake.
You did it perfectly, though.
That's what I'm supposed to do?
It's just a steamed bun, and you take a piece off and you put it in your stew, and that's it.
I thought I was doing it wrong because I burnt the shit out of my hands.
Well, maybe then you did.
Yeah.
But a momo is like the greatest ambassador for Himalayan cultures there, because it's just a dumpling. doesn't mean anything. Doesn't could be anything in it.
Hey, all cultures have our dumplings.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, we got our kreploks, you got your pierogies, of which there are quite a few places to get them in Queens. I mean, you know a little about dumplings.
The Irish,
the McGuire's know about dumplings.
We don't really, I don't know that we have dumplings.
Potato dumplings, no?
We do other things with potatoes. I don't know.
Okay.
There must be a dumpling of some. It's just a wrapped dough wrapping
around
a
meat.
Thing.
Yeah.
Or even not wrapping a thing.
The Irish empanada?
Yeah.
It must be one.
Delicious. Irish people are, we're not known for our culinary wisdom.
I had a sausage roll. That was kind of like it. Had Irish
That was probably disgusting.
It was awesome. No, is that, you know what I'm talking about? Andrew knows.
Sausage rolls are heavenly. You need to look it up. Irish. I've made that. I think it's like an Australian thing.
Oh, yeah. I thought there were
like a meat
store.
I don't know,
it's
an
Irish
too.
Irish store.
It was it's unbelievable.
Oh, in Sunnyside?
In Woodside is Little Irish Deli, and they had a hot dog or a sausage inside of a dough, and it was amazing. It was stupid. It was amazing.
Andrea, what possessed you to write this book? Like, what? I mean, Queens does have like a ton of different ethnic eats. As the
well,
kids say.
I live in Astoria. I've lived in Astoria, about 7 years, and a lot of my friends are in Brooklyn. And I think it's sometimes a hard sell. People get confused in Queens because of the way it's laid out. And
oh, those hyphenated street numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, 73rd Road and 73rd Avenue and 73rd.
But once you kind of understand it, it makes it easier
it does?
To navigate it. I have the worst sense of direction, and I can kind of master it. So if I can, most people can.
So you did this to get your friends over.
No, I wanted to highlight... Well, first of all, I think Manhattan and Brooklyn get a lot of hype for their food. Mm-hmm. And while certain places in Queens do get shout outs, like the borough as a whole kind of doesn't get appreciated for the ethnicity. So I wanted to highlight that.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Woodside for a burger because I really don't think that there's a burger in Jackson Heights. You know,
where did you move to? There's no burgers in Jackson Heights?
I could get a diner
burger.
Is
it still America?
Am I being crazy here?
No, it's I think that's maybe Jan's.
True.
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't go.
No. You went burgers to, everywhere in Brooklyn.
You went to Donovan's.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how was it?
It was good. I mean, I love an Irish waitress. It reminds me of my grandmother, and it's a place that's very familiar to my people.
Oh, yeah.
So,
anything, you know. I love anything comes out of an Irish kitchen. Anything.
Yeah.
I've had hits or misses with there. It was a hit whenever I didn't care, and then like every time I brought someone there,
right?
It's terrible.
Yeah, I was also with someone who ordered like something stupid, like shrimp parmesan or something. I was like, don't even do that. Like, just order a salad. It's going to be equally gross. It probably won't be as gross as like anything Italian that an Irish person cooks. Anyway, Emily, you're coming from sort of a real estate. I mean, like, Brownstoner had a good deal to do with turning Brooklyn into a brand with the flea market and everything. Can you get them to bring me a steak in Jackson Heights?
Like, well, maybe. I mean, the reason we started the Queens site was because we figured everyone was getting priced out of Brooklyn and that there would be a growing interest in real estate there. And we write a little bit about food, too, but mostly kind of what's happening in Queens, and especially Western Queens, where there seems to be a lot of crazy development in Long Island City. And then in Jackson Heights, a lot of people who are wanting that brownstony Brooklyn vibe, but most can't afford it. People like Jackson Heights because you have these really nice co-ops. It's diverse. It's beautiful. And people who had never thought about Queens before, and I think start looking at prices in Brooklyn and are shocked at how bad they are now.
Yeah. Well, real estate's what brought you to Queens, Judy.
Yeah. I got priced out of Williamsburg. Luckily, you know, got a little padding from my slumlord so we could put down a down payment on a co-op. And, you know, it changed our lives. I'm still getting used to the neighborhood. I'm not completely sold, but I like having outdoor space. I like having a door to slam.
Your lanai?
I love my lanai.
On which
my...
I would like to get high?
The first thing I did was buy patio furniture. I never thought I'd get outdoor space, and it was all like under 300,000.
Patio furniture? How bougie.
Total bougie, man. I want my you know, and everyone else on the who has a lanai next to mine has tasteful stuff, not mine. It's like a fruit salad. I like it. So do you? I don't see Queens turning into a Brooklyn, though.
No, I don't either. I mean, they're so different. People like to compare them a lot, especially now. And I was thinking about the food scene and how both boroughs have great food. But I think you were saying that Brooklyn is a brand, and you get somewhere like Pock Pock, where that's such a brand, and you have sort of you have like this white guy who traveled to Thailand, came back to Brooklyn, is making this Taiwanese food. You wait 2 hours for it. You have to travel. And in Queens, the food scene is it's local, and you might be the only person in that restaurant who speaks English, and it's, you know, it's super diverse, and it's cheap, and there's no wait. There's this sort of inherent difference, and Queens is not really branded yet. It doesn't have
it's going to happen, because this is the nature of things. I really believe this. Queens next, and then you could flip a coin between Staten Island and the Bronx. Probably the Bronx, just because it takes a boat to get to Staten Island. And Staten Island is a place where no one goes.
They need to advocate to New Jersey. Just need to, like, go away.
To New Jersey?
Yeah, I mean, they're practically
New Jersey. We're from New Jersey.
I know we're from New Jersey, and we don't live there anymore for a good reason.
But I do see Queens becoming the next thing. It just seems logical. I mean, things just seem to keep moving east. When I was, you know, a starry-eyed teenager and had ideas of moving to Greenwich Village, and obviously that turned into, like, the next, you know, sort of expensive, also a tourist mecca and whatever, and and maybe I had this idea, Soho, I could live in a loft, and then that sort of didn't happen. It turned into a shopping mall, and I ended up in the East Village, which was the next logical place, and that was great for years until it wasn't, and everybody began moving to Brooklyn, and I lived in Manhattan for 30-plus years. Now I'm in Brooklyn. It's wonderful. I'm really into it. I cannot wait to read about Brooklyn.
Where can someone
do a story about Brooklyn?
Their Queens-averse friends for like a what do you call it? Like just to dip them in Queens, so that someplace where they won't be that uncomfortable. You know,
Queens
like,
is happening.
Someplace maybe with a tin ceiling and Edison bulbs.
I feel like Jeff has things to say. I think the Greek food is a good introduction. Everybody likes Mediterranean food. And all the Greek in Astoria is so close to the, so close to Manhattan. So I think it's a good gateway.
And it's ethnic light.
Yes, yes. But I thought Pock Pock is a great example because I've been to Pock Pock. It was lovely. I got there at like 5 o'clock or 5:30 because
you have to get 5:30
to have like you know
or you'll never get
early
in.
Bird dinner. So otherwise you'll never get in. And it was great, but I have had better Thai food in Queens, right. And I've had cheaper, better Thai food in Queens.
And you don't have to wait.
Yeah, and I didn't have to wait like that, so.
What are some of your favorite Thai places? Like, Kitchen 79, I guess, they just opened. That's sort of yuppie-ish, but they're super nice.
Yeah, first of all, it's not a competition.
No,
I
know.
We're not in competition with Pock Pock. No way.
We being
the borough of Queens, almost entirely. I mean, we're totally fine with not being
the new Brooklyn.
Whatever. We're not. Pock Pock's a great example. So it's like it's. Andy Ricker, who studied the Thai food, and he's like a genius and all that stuff. But you go in, and you know, nothing's wrong with hipsters, but that type of demographic doing there is a waiter. And I don't know if they're hipsters or recent immigrants that are doing the kitchen, but they're probably not Thai.
Right.
And you come to Queens and you're in it. I mean, the food may or may not taste exactly like it does in Thailand, but honestly, I don't care because everyone around you is Thai. The waitress is Thai. People are speaking Thai. They don't expect you to speak English, which is great. And that's the experience. That's fine. I'm okay with Queens not being the next Brooklyn, but it apparently is.
It's happening.
Because Judy's here.
Because I'm here making it Brooklyn. I have an Edison bulb in my apartment.
Chris is here. Yeah, everyone's coming in.
You are the straw that broke the camel's back.
That's right. I turned Queens into a shithole.
It's definitely, it's cascading now. It's happening. It's happening.
When I was 5, we moved to Left Rack City. So I did live in Queens before.
If you live there now, you'd be home already.
Anyway.
What, no one gets that gag?
It was a sign on the highway.
You guys never like recorded on the highway?
Yeah, I've seen that sign on the highway.
On the side of like this industrial looking apartment complex? If you lived here, you'd be home already?
But we lived in Lefrak City, so we would hang out. You know, I was 5 and 6. I went to PS206, which I don't think even exists anymore. Then we moved back to Rochester, New York, where I went to Catholic school. So you came from this area where like Lefrak City at the time was billed as like it really actively courted new immigrants. So there were people from all over the world in all my classes. Like their parents had just moved here. They had been born elsewhere. So it was a really cool experience. And our teachers were very cool. They went out of their way to explain each culture, like every holiday that anyone celebrated, we learned about in school. And then to go back to Rochester to go to Catholic school where everyone was white and Catholic, it was very strange. It was like an awful culture shock. So here I am back again in Queens. And I'm kind of like, I hate this, but I lived in Williamsburg for 20 years and I got used to like being able to go out and get a steak, which is really, I hate myself for this.
Hashtag first world problem.
I hate myself for that.
It's okay.
It really is okay. I'll tell you what, if I couldn't get a steak, I would lose my fucking mind. If there weren't a local restaurant where I can get, you know, comfort food, a steak and a decent bottle of wine or whatever, a Caesar salad or something.
Your taste, thing. It's going to change.
I'm old now, too.
No, your taste will change. You're going to crave Nepalese food. I'm telling you. And momos.
Now that I know.
I want a momo.
And I empanadas. What did I have before? A tiki mo?
A tingmo.
Tingmo, okay.
I just like saying momo.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to...
Exactly, yeah.
I want to get high in your lanai and then order a momo.
So, Jeff, tell me about this momo tour that you're leading because...
Okay.
I think we should go.
This is the once a year thing, the Momo crawl. It's awesome. Yeah, Momos are the greatest ambassador to the community. It's just a dumpling. No one's afraid of it. Even my mom wants to have a Momo, which is like amazing. It's totally crazy. So basically there's about 20 different places that serve Momos and they are Tibetan or Nepalese, more or less, that serve them. And so every one of them, they sell momos for $1, and I have a map of the neighborhood, and it's kind of like a self-guided open house of the neighborhood. You walk around, you eat momos.
Is this in Jackson Heights?
All around the 74th Street Station.
Okay.
All within that little square mile, there's about 20.
Wow.
So it's crazy. That's the big thing now. So, and I have a trophy that we're going to...
The Momo
still
trophy?
It. Yeah, it's in my head right now, but it will be actualized.
Get that glue gun out, guys.
It's last year was a giant golden Momo.
Uh-huh.
This year, the idea is a mountain with a spinning golden Momo on top of it.
Damn.
And it's going to happen.
So we all get cards and we vote?
I give you a map. And you just go around and they're $1 each. And then at the end, we're going to vote somehow, probably by maneuvering the bodies or something.
When is this happening?
Voting. November 22nd.
Okay, so
Saturday.
It's coming up.
And where can we find information on this?
IWantMoreFood.com or my Jeff Orlick on Twitter, in Twitter box.
We're doing the Momo tour.
I'm doing the Momo
We're doing the Momo tour.
It's big.
Oh, yeah.
It's big.
I'm taking the entire
Heritage
Radio
staff. Ready Penny afterwards.
Have you been there?
Yes, I've been there.
The what?
The Ready Penny. It's like... It's
every derelict from every culture goes there.
Yeah.
It's not... Oh,
polycultural derelict.
They used to have karaoke, but sadly... which I never got to see, but that sounded like quite a mess.
Have you been there? Yeah.
I haven't been there. Now I need to go. But I have to give a plug for Jeff's tours. Just the general ones. It's so much fun, and it will give you kind of your bearings of Jackson Heights. But the most fun I had was you took us to the taxi place. You go downstairs, and it's like this crowded room, and everybody, there's a map on the wall, and everybody...
Taxi school.
Sorry, you can describe it better. I've never seen anything like it, and...
Wow.
It was... They were having, like, little quid, like, can you get from here to here? Sorry, you can talk about it better.
It's AJ's taxi school, and we visit AJ's taxi school, and he's very engaging, and it's a trip, basically.
That's the other thing about Queens. If you ever wondered how anything in the city gets done, or where all the buses go to get repaired, or where the taxis are just waiting to... That's all in Queens. You kind of travel through, and you're like, oh, this is where the big... the taxi headquarters. Everything yeah, every, makes sense. Every cabbie in Queens,
knows how to get to my apartment in
works.
Jackson Heights, where in Williamsburg, even though it's a grid, you know, there would have to be directions given. But
yeah, one time I took a taxi home from the East Village, and I think I must have been drunk because he totally took advantage of me. He was like, "Oh, okay," and then he ended up picking up his sister like a block away. And I was like, I didn't know. I was with I was like a nice young lady I was with, and I didn't know what I didn't know how to approach the situation to not be an asshole. Or
well, so in she Greece, came to they Jackson do Heights, that, but they don't really do that.
I paid her fare too, so.
So what are the next up-and-coming neighborhoods in Queens? And where is the White Flight going to right now? Now that McGuire...
We're soaking in it.
Now that McGuire is there, who will be following her like lemmings off to the borough of Queens, county of Queens?
I mean, Jackson Heights is definitely... I'm sorry, you're in it. You're in it. Long Island City is already super expensive.
Astoria, we couldn't afford.
It's almost those luxury expensive buildings that have gone up in LIC over the years.
So they're doing a huge affordable housing complex around there, and they just released applications. And within 2 weeks, they got 50,000 applications, and they're expecting to get more than 100,000 applications for, I believe it's about 1,000 units that...
Yeah.
So people can live in these nice new, quote unquote, affordable.
Right. The whole boondoggle of you can build luxury housing if you build a certain amount of affordable housing.
And have a nice little poor door on your building.
And have the poor door on the side of it so you can have the shtetl for all the people who can't afford the real deal.
Something also really interesting is happening in Astoria, the waterfront area, Hallett's Point, which is like half public housing right now and half nothing. It's a mile away from any subway, and they're trying to build huge luxury developments in this area that'll basically transform where there's nothing anymore, but there's a big battle of making that affordable housing, how that's going to look for the residents already there. So in Queens too, it's become sort of a battleground for what affordable housing is going to look like under de Blasio, who's been, you know, talking a pretty big talk about all that.
Yeah, he talks a lot, that one.
Yeah.
The Astoria Cove is great because the people are fighting back. Like, cause they call it affordable housing, but it's bullshit. It's not. It's just like PR. It's
under
like
affordable
stupid
housing for this city, at Astoria Cove, a one-bedroom can cost up to $2,700 a month. And that's technically affordable housing
affordable
in this
whom?
City. Right, exactly.
And the income requirements on these places are a lot of times are ridiculous. Like, you can buy your affordable housing for $300,000, which is also not affordable, and then you can only make like $45,000 a year. So, I mean, it's crazy. Right. Like, you can either do one or you can do the other,
well,
unless you win lottery.
It's crazy as a guy went looking to, you know, to rent a new apartment, and you know what it's like that you want to prove, you know, minimum of 40 times the rent and income after taxes, and like, you know, holy shit, if I were making $130,000, would I be renting this fucking apartment? I mean, seriously? Right.
Yes, you would be. In New York, yeah. So, Andrea, your book is out. Where can people find it? And tell me summarize it for me. Tell me the best place in Queens to eat.
We haven't even gotten to Chinese food. I've had some badass Chinese food in Queens.
Okay, it's on Amazon. And it's in some bookstores in Queens, and then Barnes & Noble, if there are, like, any Barnes & Noble left. There are a few. And it's kind of a guidebook / cookbook of Queens. So I have it broken down into different areas, like Sunnyside, Astoria, Flushing, and then I have profiles of restaurants and recipes from them and little, like, tours that you can do, little walking tours. So it's supposed to be just a little, like a snippet of Queens.
Will it guide us through Flushing? Because that is so intimidating to me.
Yeah, I definitely have some Flushing stuff. Although, I just love going to Flushing and exploring on my own. Because you don't feel like you're in New York.
No.
You feel like you're somewhere else. Yeah,
but there are tours. There are tours in the book of each neighborhood. So it makes it easy. This book is awesome. It has all... Like excellent picks and pretty in depth. It's an awesome primer for you.
I'm getting it.
Yeah, you have.
I told her I'm buying at least one copy because
it has a very long name.
I was gonna buy the Kindle copy. Queens, a culinary passport.
Thank you. Yeah.
I was gonna buy it on my Kindle, but my boyfriend's gonna want one too, so I don't I'm not going to do that.
Well, it's a nice size, so so you can try and you know, put it in your purse if you have a big purse like I do. I have it in my purse. So,
I mean, do you guys? I get sometimes this question of there's all this media coverage in the books and the food about Queens and. It's being ruined by, you know, especially like writing about real estate. Brownstoner changed Brooklyn dramatically, not single-handedly, but it was a very small part of that. And it's sort of this question of covering a place and sort of hyping it up and talking about how awesome it is, but you also want to keep it a secret.
The duality principle, that something changes just because you're watching it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's tricky, you know? You don't want to, like, keep everything a secret. Obviously, you'd love to share this great experience with other people. On the other hand, you know, the second people start showing up, it kind of makes it less special.
Yeah. Well, you think about, so, like, there, the, and as far as the food, this is what I always think about the food. So, the food, it's so good and authentic because we have the audience. Like, there's a huge Thai audience or Ecuadorian or all those audiences. And for every person that moves in, me, who's not part of, who's an outsider to all these cultures, then that's one less real person that they're catering to.
But they also make more money, which is helpful.
But it gets spread out.
Right.
And then I'm not actually part of the community. So they wouldn't, I mean, they're not providing food for that immigrant community anymore. And so it gets, I don't know, it gets eroded away. I don't know what to do.
But
there's no easy answer.
But isn't authenticity kind of the coin of the realm when it comes to that sort of food? I mean, isn't that what you're selling? I mean, you don't want to, like, water it down because, you know, for the new bourgeois, you know, revolution. I mean, I think the whole point of the thing is to be authentic, like the Chinese restaurants, you know, which are, you know, unbelievable. I mean, here's a fish head and, like, you know, pepper jelly. I mean, there's no way you can, you know, dilute that experience.
You like that. Oh, yeah. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
But
I make the fish heads and Captain Beefheart songs.
Why doesn't that exist in Park Slope as much? Because people complain.
There is. I'll tell you what. There's one thing that's not in my neighborhood, in Carroll Gardens, which I love. Brooklyn's great. You guys should all come here. but really, there is a paucity, an immediately like noticeable paucity of Chinese food. I mean, there's a Doza place. But, I mean, I live next to the greatest Indian restaurants, you know, in Manhattan. So I'm certainly not going to go there because just taking one look at it is like, you know, I don't think so. You know, this is not where the cab drivers are eating. I'm not going there. I certainly haven't seen one Indian person in that place. I mean, it's great for steak. There's some great, like, new restaurants or, like, Nouveau American, whatever you call it.
Yeah, we've only got 4 minutes. We're done with Brooklyn.
Someone should talk about Brooklyn on this radio station sometime.
Yeah.
Here in Bushwick.
Here in Bushwick.
At Roberta's. This place is going to catch on. You'll see. Hipsters are going to start coming to
this Clintons
place.
Are going to eat here at some point. Oh, wait. They did.
And Jay-Z.
So I want to know, like, your picks for each neighborhood I can think of. Okay? So you're on the hot seat, Andrea, because you wrote the book. Long Island City, your favorite restaurant.
Well, it hasn't opened. Moo Ramen, which is going to open. I went when it was...
Friends, what about a place that we can go to?
No, it's going to open in a couple weeks. Okay. You can stalk their Twitter, and they're going to tell you. But it was a pop-up, and it was amazing.
Sunnyside.
I actually like Romanian Gardens, but there's a wait. Okay. Sorry, you can't go starving.
The Romanian Gardens, and that's Romanian food, I'm guessing. Yeah. But like a big garlicky flank steak. When am I going to get there?
They actually have, like, this tripe soup, and I'm not somebody who eats tripe, and it was amazing. No, but
yeah,
you don't
the
have
Greek
to get
boyfriend
that.
Will eat that.
You don't have to get that.
Okay, Jamaica.
Actually, didn't I don't have a Jamaica section. Somebody else weigh in on Jamaica. Sorry,
Jeff.
There's this place in the basement of a salon.
That does not sound delicious.
Exquisite or something like that. It's a Jamaica place. It's awesome. I think it's Exquisite. Celsius.
It's actually a Jamaican place in Jamaica.
It's in Jamaica, a Jamaican place, which happens quite often.
Right.
I'm not sure why, but
I love Jamaican food. I don't get nearly enough of that, and surely there's none of that in Park Slope or Carroll Gardens.
Emily, what were you going to add?
Well, I'll add an architecture thing about Jamaica to give this neighborhood a shout out, because it's a great neighborhood. People don't talk about it enough. But there's a church here, and I'm forgetting the name of the church, but it's in an old movie palace.
I saw that. That's
and
beautiful.
They give tours occasionally, and it's the church does it for free, but you should donate to the church. It's so beautiful. It's one of my absolute favorite spots in New York, anywhere.
Did Brownstoner just do a feature on it?
We've written about it before, but if you just Google Movie Palace Church, Jamaica, Queens, it'll pop up for you. And I always recommend people to go to the neighborhood and look around, but especially to go and walk in that church, even if it's you can walk in on Sunday.
That's like one of the old Lowe's palaces, I believe, right?
And they restored everything. There's amazing. A ceiling with the little twinkly lights. There's like an old goldfish pond. I mean, those palaces were awesome.
Yeah, the remaining Lowe's palaces
in New York
and the one in Jersey City are all absolutely phenomenal.
So our show is over, but
as always, fastest half hour on
the
internet.
We have to figure out where to find everybody. Emily?
So I'm at queens.brownstoner.com.
Andrea?
AndreaLynn27 at gmail.com.
And we're going to find your book, Culinary.
On Amazon.
Jeff?
And I guess Jeff Orlick on Twitter. That's good.
Okay, where can we find you, if we want to sign up for a Momo tour? We're going.
Yes.
Come, November 22nd.
To show up?
Yeah. IWantMoreFood.com is the website.
There you go. IWantMoreFood.com.
You got it.
Okay. All right, we're going out with a little Queens music.
Little Queens music. It's our good friends, the Fleshtones, or more like Peter Zaremba, doing a little Monster Mash in Espanol.
And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, and we'll see you guys next week here on Arts and Seizures.
En una noche oscura y terrible está en el castillo embrujado empezar a gritar los monstruos peligrosos Frankenstein y Batman comieron quesadillas y vampiro en petián. Si son qué monstruos tan terrible. Bailaba la llorona en los brazos de Aquaman y Drácula volaba al compás de cha-cha-cha. Morticia se penaba con carjete y guagarras mientras que el hombre lobo aullaba sin cesar. Si son qué monstruos.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.